The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Another My Music, another chance for the audience here at the Commonwealth Institute in London to welcome, if it wishes to welcome, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton, competing in musical knowledge against John Amis and Frank Muir. In the first round this week, each contestant has music written by a namesake. The name's the same, or one name's the same anyway. Ian Wallace. Who wrote this?
Yes, let me like a soldier fall upon some open plain. This breast expanding for the fall to block up every stain. Brave manly hearts from fair my own, that gentle ones may take.
Ian Wallace. Who wrote that?
Well, the only thing, I just draw a bow at adventure, because the only thing that I've ever heard that Wallace wrote was an opera called Maritana.
That's it, it's from Maritana, yes. Let me like a soldier fall from Maritana. That's your second mark, Maritana. Wallace, your first mark. Our composer friend, Mr. Wallace, lived from 1812 to 1865. I found out that he went to Australia and received for one concert a fee of 200 sheep. Which is rather nice. And then later in Chile, he rode 125 miles with 13 changes of horse to keep an engagement. Eventually, he courted an Irish nun and married her sister. Truth of the Wallaces, he was a bit of a nut.
He was no relation, so far as I know.
Yeah. Well, still on namesakes. Dennis, the writer of this song shares one of your names.
Try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near. My old heart ain't gaining no ground, because my angel eyes ain't here.
Mr. Norden.
I'm trying to think. Oscar Norden II, Irving Norden, Jerome Norden. That was the last song Frank Sinatra sang when he said he'd retire. He actually came back. Yes, don't you remember? And the last one, think I'll just disappear.
Oh, yes.
And then
and
that was it.
Low-key finish. Mm. Do you know who wrote it? Because
no, obviously not. Is that true?
Try have a shot at his surname.
Wallace.
What? Not Clay Wallace. What, was it Dennis?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Was Johnny Dennis?
No.
Oh, I know. He wrote a lot of songs for Sinatra.
He wrote Everything Happens to Me. He wrote Let's Get Away From It All.
And he wrote Violets for Your Furs.
Let's have his name.
Matt Dennis.
Matt Dennis, yeah. Gets you your marks, right? Yes. And for your second mark, if you can remember now, who was the singer we heard?
Well, Matt Dennis, would it have been him? Because perform as well.
No, he did. No, this was another singer entirely.
No, I was concentrating on that one.
And I'll sing to a mule, da-da-dee-da-da-da.
Oh, what, Jones? Jack Jones.
Jack Jones, yes. Of course. By one and a George, half out of two. I could hardly have helped you more, I think. One
by
and a half.
George, you should have known that.
Yes, I know.
John Amis, yours too is a namesake of a sort.
I think it's a load of old bull, isn't it?
Yes, it is. His name being?
John.
John,
Bull.
Like you. John Bull, that's right. For your second mark, John, which book does that piece come from?
It's probably Cowd.
Parthenia?
No, more of a...
You think it might be the old Fitzbill?
Ah, yes, Fitzbill, that's right.
Yes.
The Fitzbill being...
Fitzwilliam Virginal book.
Fitzwilliam Virginal book.
What are you talking about?
Explain. For Dylan and me.
It comes from the Fitzwilliam Virginal book. Can't be fairer than that, can we?
A list of girls. The King.
Elizabethan keyboard pieces. Frank Muir, it's your turn and your namesake.
You might be quite the fickle-hearted rover, so carefree and bold. Loves a girl and later thinks it over and just quits cold. But once in love with Amy...
Who's the songwriter, Mr. Muir?
The Bride of Lemon Muir.
I think not.
Warm? Am I warm?
No, you'll be warmer with your other name, I feel.
Frank.
Yes, Frank.
I've got a middle name of Herbert. I know lots of songwriters.
I was trying to find a song by Herbert Mostyn. Like
Victor Herbert.
No.
Frank. Cesar Frank.
Not that song, no. He wasn't in love with Amy, this chap was.
He's a modern chap then, isn't he?
Yes.
Frank Lesser, yes.
And for your second mark, if you can remember, who was the singer we heard?
Unmistakable. Yes. Honey, soft, brown sugar voice.
Velvet Fog, they used to call it.
That's right. He had a name like the Finch for Crise de Foix. Mel Tommy.
Mel Tommy, yes. You got your marks. We move on to some musical facts and fictions.
Oh.
Ian, what did Queen Victoria say when she went to see Aida?
Very good show.
She may well have done that.
Yes. Obviously, that wasn't the time when she said, "We are not amused."
No. Well, she was not amused by Aida. I trust. No, she made a remembered remark, which I don't think you may have heard.
No.
He wasn't there. You wouldn't have heard it.
It's a long time ago, Steve.
Well, it's worth the loss of a mark to find out, as you'll agree, I think.
Mm.
Queen Victoria went to see Aida, and then afterwards she said, proper soldiers should be used.
Yes.
Since then, members of the Brigade of Guards have been employed for many productions of Aida.
The other thing about Queen Victoria, she found it very distasteful to come out of the Opera House, I'm told, and see the blue lights of Bow Street Police Station.
Oh, isn't that marvellous?
It's a useless bit of information.
Isn't it? Dennis, what do musicians mean when they talk about a domino? And can you give any explanation as to how the term came into use, a domino?
It's a clinker, isn't it?
Yes.
Of Peter Sellers. You played a boom note.
Yes, that's right. A wrong note, a clangor or a fluff.
Why was it called a domino? Well, one can only make assumptions. I think it dated from an early production of the Lilac Domino, where the producer, in an effort to achieve a rather more theatrical effect, insisted that all the orchestra wore lilac dominoes, domino in this sense being, you know, like a mask. Mm. And unfortunately, he bought a job lot, because it was a large orchestra, which didn't have eye holes in it. So whenever the xylophone player now sort of reaches forward with a stick and hits the clarinetist, and it's called playing a domino.
You'll be interested to know that I have no idea how the word domino came into use, so I accept your offer. Absolutely.
I was more interested actually in John's thing. It's like being at night school on this programme.
John, Rossini had a pupil named Henry Russell who composed A Life on the Ocean Wave. In due course, Henry Russell had a son who made his mark on the world of music. Who was he?
Bertrand.
No.
Well, there was a Russell who was a very famous impresario, but that's probably not him.
No, he didn't have the same name. Professionally, a different name entirely. I'll give you a number of hints, because they're all interesting pieces of information. This particular chap conducted the first ever concerto recording, which was an abbreviated Grieg with Backhaus in 1910. Also, I'm assured, the first electrically recorded symphony, which was the Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony in 1925. He had a lot to do with recordings. He was born in 1873, died in 1938.
Was he an employee of the Gramophone Company?
I think very likely.
Was he famous for his Elgar?
You keep asking me these questions I can't answer. Who was he?
Wasn't the dog that crouched over the loudspeaker?
Jack Russell.
That was
Jack Russell.
You say his name was not Russell, and no. He wasn't known as that.
No.
It's just Fred a guess. Geisberg. He wasn't called Landon Ronald, was he?
Yes, he was Sir Landon Ronald. Yes, he was. I think you must get the mark for that, because it was very difficult, and you worked your way to it. Yes, Henry Russell composed Life on the Ocean Wave. His son became Sir Landon Ronald. Frank, which piece of music starts with a musical representation of a sneeze? Or even, for your mark, simply, why? And I think John is writing something. Do you know about this? Piece of music that begins with a sneeze.
It's when the second harpist, the lady on the harp, took snuff. On the other hand, Harry James, the trumpet.
Harry James, he's...
It's a very funny thing, but I've got three Hungarian friends sitting right in the front row.
It's very yellow.
They'll know the answer. Would you like to say it in chorus? One, two, three...
Yes, beautifully pronounced. I don't.
Harry Young.
Yes.
No. Sounds like a way of committing Hungarian suicide. Harry Janos.
I will explain Kodály's Harry Janos suite. There's a Hungarian belief, I'm assured, that if a speaker sneezes, he must be telling the truth. And Kodály made the sort of musical representation of a sneeze at the beginning of this piece, which is rather nice.
This man, Harry Janos, was a sort of Hungarian old Bill. Told lots of lies, defeated Napoleon in his imagination.
And had hay fever.
Anyway, there's a piece of information, but that's what your side got it, so it's a mark to you. Turning to the piano, I've prepared another of these medleys, two more medleys, one for each side. So, Ian and Dennis, your medley first. See how you got on. There were six tunes there. Ian, did you get the first one?
No.
Right.
Well, it's didn't waste time with
it's a cinch that Dennis didn't. Schubert, Impromptu in B-flat, opus 142, number 3, so you didn't get that. Then came, Ian?
Mozart.
Yes.
Was it from the Marriage of Figaro?
Yes.
One of the Cherubino
artists.
Voi che sapete.
That's all right, good enough for half a mark, yes. And then, perhaps Dennis got the next one.
Yes, it's
Lover Come Back to Me.
Yes, I just said that I'm so lonely.
Yes, right, Lover Come Back to Me. Sharply followed by...
The Hall of the Mountain King.
Yes, in the Hall of the Mountain King from Peer Gynt by Grieg. That's right. Two more.
Charlie Is My Darling.
Yes. And...
Down Among the Dead.
Yes. Let him Five out of six, die. 2.5 marks out of 3. Very good. Well, next medley. And John and Frank, your turn. Get on.
The first one.
John, the first one. Yes.
Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony.
Yes, from the Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony, the last movement. Then, Frank?
Dad, you wouldn't buy me a bow.
Right, which is more or less in the same rhythm, right?
Dad, you wouldn't buy me
a bow. Oh, he's not going to sing them all, is he? Sure.
I've got a little cat.
He is, you know.
But have you finished writing?
No.
Oh.
Then came...
When you gave him a whole lot of...
Sailor's Hornpipe.
Yes, Sailor's Hornpipe. Oh, he's right.
Then Bach Goes to Town.
Yes, and then...
I can't read my own
Finn and Haddock, that's it.
Finn and Haddock.
We're off to see the wizard. The wonderful
yes.
Wizard of Oz didn't get that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And finally,
it
Frank.
The Gumball British News.
Well, it's the wrong company.
Ah, the other one. What's the other
movie
one?
Tone.
Movie Tone News.
No, still wrong company.
Dennis,
help. Dennis. Dennis has got it. Paramount on parade. Paramount. I can't give you that because you've got the wrong company entirely. So, four out of six, two marks out of three. And we travel on to opera. Set the scene nicely. Ian Wallace, the principals join in a duet. Listen and then tell me what are their names in the opera and who composed it.
Hansel.
And?
Gretel.
Yes. And the composer?
Humperdinck.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And to make it still easier, I could have played you this.
Dennis. He could have did.
Yes. Dennis, these are two other characters in the opera. Dennis, what is it they're laughing at?
Oh. Well, she is laughing because she's standing on a loose floorboard and it induces a pleasurable sensation. And he is laughing because he's just had the thought that 100 years from now, our composer will be remembered mainly for his rendition of Please Release Me, Let Me Go.
Make anybody laugh, yes. Fair enough for a mark. Actually, Hansel and Gretel's mother and father, we heard there, are laughing because they have no money and she's just broken the milk jug. I prefer your loose floorboard myself. John, there's a lovely theme at the start of Act 2, Scene 3. Later on, that theme is repeated as Gretel sings about her dream. I think. After the first performance, John, in 1893, can you remember what Siegfried Wagner called this opera?
He said, one day there will be in England a pop singer.
Here we go again.
He will call himself Engelbert Humperdinck. And in a press handout one day, the young man will say, my manager thought up the name Humperdinck, but I thought of the name Engelbert.
The more you think about that, the better it gets. Well, I think I must give you a mark since I gave Dennis one. Actually, what Siegfried Wagner said was, that, he said, is the most important opera since Parsifal. The critic yes. Hanslick added an irritating pronouncement, and the worst of it is that it's true. Frank, also in Act 2, Scene 3, is this couplet. Who is the character singing there?
Surely it must be that little girl who was taken from the chorus, who had such a beautiful voice. What's her name now?
The pretty little witch.
Oh, it's a witch. Oh, it's the witch. It's a bit like a panto, Steve.
And yes, there's it is a bit, yes.
Babes in the Wood.
I'm not buying this witch idea, though. It's not the witch.
Well, it's not the witch.
There.
When we said the witch. Well, she's reading this magazine for Consumers Research. And there's Hansel and Gretel.
No, you're not even warm, I think.
Well...
John, you don't know, do you? That's what it amounts to.
No.
I must tell you the translation of the line you heard was "Nibble, nibble, mousekin, who's nibbling at my housekin."
Yes, in the wood. The wood, you see, and there's this frightful witch and the children. And
so
the
who's
children
singing there then? One last chance.
Well, I wasn't. Don't blame me. It was the person in. The house.
No,
whose
I'm
house
not,
it was.
I'm not buying this. It the was actual
the,
character.
The mouse's mother.
Oh, shut up. The actual character performing was the chocolate cream cake cottage. And the roof.
Oh, really? So.
If you believe that, you believe anything.
Make it plausible.
The roof was of Turkish delight with sugar windows, raisin gables, and a gingerbread hedge. Oh, dear. Well, we move on. You could call the music varied this week in the closing round, which is, of course, the singing round. Dennis, you first. I'll be curious and interested to know whether you can recall a really old favourite and coming in singing after my two-bar intro. Ready?
Oh, the chirruping of the birds is on the sycamore tree. It's pleasant to see them happy and free. A cheeky one this morning popped up on the sill and said... Get out of bed.
That's right. Yes.
That, if I remember, was a very pleasant entertainer called Ronald Gourlay.
A blind pianist and singer, entertainer, very nice man. When you remember it, his Dickie Bird Hop. John, when you go to heaven and meet Beethoven, as no doubt you will meet Beethoven, I wonder if he might introduce a friend to you with the words... I'd like to have you meet my lyric writer, John Schiller. If he did, which of their collaborations do you think he might have in mind?
Freude, schöne Götter funken, Tochter aus Elysium, wir betreten feuertrunken, himmlischer dein Heiligtum. Deine Zauber binden wieder, o die Mode springet ein. Alle Menschen werden brüden, wo dein Strahleflügel weilt.
John sounds like Beethoven composing it, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think I was singing in German or Choctaw? No.
Frank, back to earth, and a song from you, please, about one of the ruins that the Protector didn't protect.
One of the ruins of Cromwell knocked about a bit. One that Oliver Cromwell knocked about a bit. In the gay old days, there used to be some doings. No wonder that the poor old abbey's all in ruins. Folks who started in history sing and shout of it. And you can bet your life there isn't a doubt of it. Outside the Oliver Cromwell House Saturday night, I was one of the ruins of Cromwell, knocked about a bit.
Ian, over to you. We've had request after request, or I have, from listeners, and I might add a request a few weeks ago from Frank as well, for you to repeat the song you gave us quite a long time ago, Lean In. Could you manage that if I give you a little lead in?
Very nice. Well, we might try verse two this time.
I'm leaning on the gate beside the pond that lies beside the side, the hedge where my old dog would play.
It's just because from there I see the sunlight glinting on the tree, upon the grave where he do lie. Sleeping, sleeping. Goodbye is hard to say, that's why I'm leaning on the gate beside the pond that lies beside the side of Farmer Stacks of Newmonhay. And at the gleaning, he'll find me leaning.
That lovely old song, we end this week's edition of My Music. And you know what it is? It's a draw. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Schreier.